Stop it. Stop it. She...
Tell me.
I don't like to tell it to you. Not when you're sitting right there. I can see it beating.
Episode 7. Do not disturb.
Sophie, be careful.
Be quiet.
I'm sorry. Okay. Do you have the key?
No. I checked the key ring already. There's no tower key on there.
The door's locked. How did Riley ever get into this room in the first place?
She must have a key on her somewhere, then. Try her fanny pack.
I hate that she's wearing one in the first place because this isn't the 80s, but fine.
Oh, thank God. There we go.
Nick, you get her feet, I'll get her shoulders. We're going to carry her in and put her on the bed.
God, Sophie, she really doesn't look...
Head wounds always look worse than they are. This much blood is normal.
Really?
Sure. It's making me feel better to believe that right now, so sure. Nick, shut the door. We don't want anyone coming up after us.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Ribbon Ridge is eating itself. We don't know how, yet. We're not sure we want to leave the room and look. Every few minutes, there's a great groaning as stones crack apart or floorboards uproot themselves far away. Sophie and I sit on the end of Riley's bed, in a high and lonely tower that is not what it appears to be. The room is empty. All the furniture, including the bed, is covered in white drop cloths, undisturbed for years or decades, maybe. There are no clothes in the wardrobe, no luggage, no books. Nothing that Riley brought here. But there are sheets of paper pinned haphazardly to every free inch of the wall. Riley's handwriting covers them. Big block letters are scrawled in dark pen and indelible permanent marker. The same phrase, over and over again. False and frail. False and frail.
Any idea what it means?
The stuff on the walls?
Yeah. That felt like the most immediate question to ask.
It's a line from my poem, I think. It was "Thy love proved false and frail." Riley said earlier that she didn't remember the second verse. She wanted me to repeat it. Maybe she was lying.
Maybe. She doesn't lie all the time, though.
She really does. Sophie, we can go back downstairs and try to get to Maddie, right? Maybe, I don't know, talk to her, somehow do things differently. There's gotta be a way.
Nick, we can't.
You say that, but...
Nick. That's not... That is not Madeline. You saw what I saw.
She was smiling, Sophie.
Yeah, I know.
I always wanted her to smile, but not like that. God, what do we do?
I don't know. No. No. I'll find an answer. To all of this. I'll find a way to save us. One way or another, we're going to get out of here. We're in a haunted house. God. God! I'm sensible, okay? I try to be sensible and pragmatic and smart. I do my best. I know I can handle anything. All the rest of you are... You are so messy and emotional, and I tried to be the grounding force, the adult in the room, but even I can see that we're in a haunted house! And you know what? We're getting out. I promise you, Nick, we are getting out.
Okay.
I mean it.
I know you do. So she's moving.
Riley. Hey, Riley, are you okay? Just stay still, all right? Just don't move. You're injured, babe.
Is she conscious?
I don't think so. Just restless. Huh.
What?
She's holding her notebook. Wait, did she have that in the basement?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, she definitely didn't have it out when we carried her up the stairs, so I'm a little confused.
What's in there?
Couple handwritten pages. Looks like she didn't get around to filling up the rest.
What does it say?
I haven't slept in 24 hours.
Slept in 24 hours.
Riley? You're awake? Riley?
It still looks like she's sleeping.
I haven't slept in 24 hours.
Okay. What the hell? Riley, if this is a joke, it isn't funny, okay?
I don't think she's joking. I don't think she's awake. Look at her eyes, REM or whatever. It's like she's dreaming.
God.
I haven't slept in 24 hours, and the caretaker is smiling at me. Her dress is a lovely pink. Her hair is a tight knot at the base of her neck. She sits on the end of my bed. She does not remove her sunglasses. Why the hell is she wearing sunglasses? Why can't I see her eyes? I came into the tower 5 minutes ago to drop off my bags. I turned the key in the heavy iron lock and I shut the door behind me for privacy. But she was there when I turned back around. My bags are gone. My clothes, my books, my things from home. All gone. All gone. All that's left is my notebook. It sits open on the desk. A pen rests in the crease between the pages. How poetic. The caretaker is smiling at me.
Hello, Riley.
She says.
It's very nice to meet you.
I haven't slept in 24 hours, and the person in my room is not a person at all. And she is smiling at me. I can see myself reflected in the black glass of her lenses. I know stories. I know what type I just walked into. I know it's the tale of a lifetime. I consider trying to run away, but I don't really want to. I want to stay. I want to watch and see what happens. Are you a ghost? I ask her calmly. Did you die here?
Oh no,
she says.
I was made here, Riley. I never died at all.
I walk to my desk. What else is there to do but write? I know I can craft this into something wonderful. The caretaker stays perched on my bed. She watches me as I write and write and write, filling the papers with permanent ink. I haven't slept in 29 hours, and the whole gang's back together again. Nick and Claire and Sophie, of course. We sit in the living room, and polite conversation ebbs and flows. The clock ticks the fragile minutes of our lives away. I want to break something. Smash a glass, or throw a chair through the window. Everything they say is so dry and flat and scripted. There's no energy in it. Nothing real, nothing interesting, nothing new. None of this has any meaning. We're all going to die in a decade or five, and no one will care that we sat here. I'm surrounded by puppets, and none of them care that they're puppets, and I hate them for it. Hell, puppets at least do something interesting when their strings are pulled. Madeline has already abandoned us to go rehearse. If it weren't for the way that Sophie looks at me when she thinks I don't see, I'd do the same. I would be up in my tower, happily riding away. I watch as the caretaker enters the room. She sits in the chair at the end of the table where Madeline was meant to be. No one notices her but me. She is smiling at me. Her sunglasses wink in the bright light of the setting sun. A flood? A landslide? A plane crashing into this house? I want so badly for something, fucking anything, to happen. I haven't slept in 32 hours, but I'm trying to. I make my way up to the tower room. The caretaker's there. I strip my clothes, hunt fruitlessly for pajamas, remember that all my stuff has just evaporated, put my clothes back on, get into bed. The caretaker is still there. A part of me is very scared of what will happen if I turn off the light, but a much greater part of me wants to find out what will happen if I turn off the light. And I can't stand not knowing. So I turn off the light. The world plunges into darkness. I haven't slept in 37 hours, and Madeline is knocking at my door. The caretaker smiles at me. She watches as I rush out into the stairwell. I hastily lock the door behind me before Madeline can see inside. We sit in the stairwell and discuss the theme. Anatomy of the heart. Okay, I know a lot about that. My dad was an EMT. Two ventricles, two atriums, tricuspid valve, pulmonary valve, aortic valve, mitral valve, aorta. I wonder what it would take to make someone's heart explode in their chest. I wonder why I'm so rarely satisfied. I wonder why no one ever asks the questions that I do. I wonder why no one else sees how static and stagnant we are.
What do you want, Riley?
The caretaker says. Well, I don't want anyone to watch me. I don't want anyone to know anything that I do. But I want a good story. I want to watch. I want to know everything, to experience everything, to do everything. I want it so badly that my heart aches and burns in my chest.
There is a hurricane coming,
the caretaker says in my ear. Perfect. Finally, something meaningful, important for once. Worth writing home about, so to speak. I go downstairs and tell the others to prepare. I haven't slept in 45 hours, and everyone runs around searching for Claire. Sophie runs up the stairs, out into the house, ready to fight the world empty-handed. Nick's fingers twitch, playing phantom chords in midair. Madeline stands still. Despite the shadows, I can see sparks of light in her eyes. She knows more about the shit happening here than she's let on. She's like me. She wants her world to change. She knows that something has already begun. I didn't even say anything that mean to Claire in Truth or Dare, you know. I can be crueler than that if I want to be.
She's still in the basement,
the caretaker says. It's true. I feel it settle into me, an absolute truth that I can't deny. It's like when you hear someone moving in the next room of your house and know, instinctively, whose footsteps they are. Claire is still in the basement. I know this for a fact. Even when Sophie finds her upstairs, I know I'm right. Claire is still in the basement. Claire never left the basement. Claire will never leave at all. I haven't slept in 64 hours, and the house is talking to me. Pieces of knowledge float in and out of my mind, flotsam and jetsam of history. I could tell you the number of bricks in each wall, the number of people who were born here, and the number who died. I could tell you about the affair that was started here in 1899. I could tell you about the party in 1910, the murder in 28.
Is this a good story?
The caretaker says. Well, it's shaping up to be. I'm entranced. I'm engaged. I'm hypnotized. I am electrified. And I can't sleep. I have to know more. I simply have to. Sophie interrupts me as I search aimlessly through the second floor. Sophie finds plants, finds books, finds an honest-to-fucking-god longsword, and then starts swinging it around like the fool that she is. Sophie rings jokes and smiles and promises out of me like it's nothing. And I find myself mad at her for it when she leaves. I'm mad at myself for always giving in so easily. For a brief moment, the exhaustion fades. For a brief moment, I am sleepy and satisfied. The thorniness of our conversation fascinates me. I don't like people pulling my strings, so why do I always let her do it? It's not enough, though. Nothing and no one ever has been interesting enough, not till I arrived at this place. I am in the living room, water at my ankles, and the phone is in my hand, its curly Q cord wrapped around me. It rings and rings and rings. Claire's gone missing again. Or at least everyone else thinks so. I know she hasn't left the basement. The caretaker stands right outside the shattered living room window. She is watching me. There are specks at the corner of her mouth now. Specks of bright ruby red, just like the wall downstairs. I should be scared, right? I should be concerned for Claire, right? But fuck her. This is the most interesting thing that's ever happened to me. I'm so fucking curious about what happens next. The caretaker smiles. I'm sorry, I say to the 911 operator. I think I have the wrong number. I haven't slept in too many hours, but I pretend to. I lock myself in Claire's bedroom and shiver at the redness on the walls, but it's all artifice. It has to be. I can hear her heart beating next door. It's the groan of the generator, clear as a bell. She's been in the basement this whole time, so everything in this room must be a trick of the light. Outside the door, Nick and Madeline dance their never-ending dance. On Claire's nightstand, a pair of neatly folded sunglasses glint, wet and black. Blood drips softly from them. As I watch, it starts trickling towards me. I haven't slept in God knows how fucking many hours, and when we walk upstairs, the house has changed. The stone is crumbling to rubble. Plants choke and throttle the furniture. Light pink ribbon threads through the stones like a root system. Nick and Sophie are trying desperately to find a way to Madeline. I wonder why I never thought to find a way out of this house before. I wonder why I am so determined to stay. Madeline is dancing in the sunroom, or something so very much like Madeline is dancing in the sunroom. I close my eyes. I blink. I blink again. This can't be happening. This is cruel. This is horrifying. Surely Madeline doesn't want this. She's moving so fast, and the music won't stop. There's blood on the walls here, too, and I can no longer deny it. Something dark and ugly is catching fire in my stomach. I think it's guilt. The caretaker is standing by the CD player. She smirks at me and I walk towards her desperate.
It's your story, she says. Why don't you like your story?
I reach for the CD player. But something reaches for me first. My head hits the wall, the light goes out, the world goes dark. Somehow, I know the caretaker is still there. Everything is hollow and disorienting, and wherever I am, I cannot see. but I know she's sitting on the end of the bed. I know she's smiling at me. Why is she fucking smiling at me? Why does she always smile at me like that? Why does she always wear sunglasses? Why can't I see her eyes? This isn't my fault. You told me to do this, I scream at her. You haven't left me alone since I got here. You are always there. You haven't let me sleep.
I never told you to do anything, Riley.
The caretaker says with a smile.
I just watched.
Oh my God.
Was I asleep? Oh, that felt nice. That was restful. God, that was a real long time overdue. What? Why are you both looking at me like that? What's going on?